I love that last song that Josh was singing, talking about things that I'm going to preach about today. And we never collaborate, but it was just perfect for what I want to say. Rick Warren, that great pastor of Saddleback Church in California, was a church planter, started a church just like we did here. And he said there are three kinds of sermons. There are those that lift up. We need a little encouragement, a little word, and it lifts us up. And it's good for us, helps us. And then there are those, number two, that are brace up. They brace us up. They build support under us. They bring the Word of God, and it strengthens us and continues to help us move along and grow in Christ. And then there's my favorite, Rick said. That's the one that just gets us fired up. This is one of those. The old country preacher here, or whatever I am, I have got one that fires me up. And I tell you what it's about. It's about Jesus coming back. Jesus is coming back. Do you know that to be true? Are you looking forward to seeing Jesus again? There's a really good chance that you will. There's many who believe that we stand at the door waiting for Jesus to come, and that He's just waiting on His Father to say, go get Him. Go get my bride. Go get your church. And there's a lot of folks, a lot of Bible students that believe that this could be the terminal generation, that we are the ones that's going to see the return of Christ. Won't that be exciting? Wouldn't that be fun? And I want to encourage you this morning with a message that ought to fire you up. It comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven, and with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord, what is it? Forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. I'm encouraging you and myself. Jesus is going to come. The Bible says in the twinkling of an eye, just like that, He will come and He will appear in the sky. You and I will see Him. We will rise to meet the Lord in the air. Right before us will be the reuniting of those souls that have already passed on or that are with Him now. Their bodies are met with Him and transformed into an eternal body. And I wish I could tell you all about that, but I can't. I just accept it by faith. I am going to have a new body when I get there. And how many is my age are similar, and you're excited about that? How many that the rain is causing you to hurt in your joints this morning? Amen. I ran into a friend this week, and he said, I hadn't seen him in a long time, same age, known him for 40 years. I said, how you doing? He says, go ahead, punch on me somewhere. Arthritis has got me everywhere. I said, me too. He was hard of hearing, too. He could barely hear me. Anyway, that just causes me to want to see Jesus. And I'm looking forward to seeing Him. It could happen any day. It could happen before the church service is over here today. But that is something that we as Christians look forward to. And I ask you a question. What's holding Him back? The answer is nothing. He knows He'll be right on time. He's just waiting on the Father to say it. He's just waiting on the Father to say, go get your bride. Go get them. Take Gabriel with you. Let Gabriel announce it to all the world. The trumpet call of God, the voice of the archangel. He will say, come up here. And we're all gone. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. The Bible talks about two comings of Jesus. That He would come to the earth two times. The first one we already know about happened 2,000 years ago. That was the birth of Jesus. He was born there in Bethlehem. And He grew to be a man, and He lived here for 30 some odd years. That was the first time Christ came to the earth. The Bible says there's another time coming. It might be coming soon. It's called the second coming of Christ. Christ will come back, and He will rule the earth from Jerusalem. He will put His foot down on the Mount of Olives when He comes back, and from that point on, He will rule over every nation. There will be no other kings, no more presidents that do not bow to Him. He will rule over the world, over the world then, and that'll start his reign forever and ever. There's the first coming, and then there's the second coming of Christ. Sandwiched in between them is another event. The Bible calls it the rapture of the church. That's what we just read about in 1 Thessalonians. It's when Jesus comes back, not all the way to Mount of Olives. He doesn't step on the planet. That's why it's not called a second coming. Then there would be a third coming. No, it's the rapture. He appears just in the skies. And we will see him. Those of us who know him, those of us who follow Jesus and love Jesus, we will see him and we will meet him right there in the air. Then we'll go to be with him in heaven. There will be a great time up there, a feasting, a great time of reward. And all the while then, on the planet, there will start a period called the tribulation. Tribulation is a terrible time. It's an extremely difficult time just to live on planet Earth. Let's talk about that, all right? I feel like this morning we should talk about the end of times. Luke chapter 21. Someone was asking him, Jesus was talking about the end of times and giving them some things that would happen. And one said, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place? Oh, there are lots of signs that that's going to take place. Plenty of signs today that we're getting close. There will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and the stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world. For the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing nigh. He then told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Jesus said there would be signs before his second coming. Those on the earth will see it. It will be dreadful. It'll happen to the sun and the moon and the stars. We read that about it. It said they will be shaken. There's other scripture that says that the sun will turn to black as well as the moon. That Jesus went on to say that in verse 25, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. The heavenly bodies will be shaken. And I'm sorry, let's go to verse 34. And the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Again, Jesus says that the stars that we see, some of them will be falling. They'll be shaken as if they were shook, and they fell to the earth. Now, we know that meteorites have been hitting the earth for a long time. We believe that some happened before man were quite huge. We know that they changed the climatic nature of the earth. Scientists have been saying for a long time that that can happen. The Bible says it will happen. The Bible says there will be climactic changes such that the atmospheric changes and the sun will turn black and the moon will change. Apparently those things are going to shift, and it's going to even affect the tides and the waves. It said that nations will be in anguish and perplexed at the roaring and tossing of the sea. The sea will come out of its banks. It'll be roaring and tossing. Those things can be talking about tidal changes. Jesus also talked and said at the end of time there would be earthquakes. And then there would be a great earthquake. The Bible says such that the whole earth shook at this one. Mountains and high places, it says, come down. I believe that all the tall buildings in the world will fall. That earthquake will shake the world. Mountains will come down. What causes the sea to rumble and to rise up? Sounds like a tsunami. What causes tsunamis? We know that earthquakes cause those things. It will not be a fun place. It will be a dreadful place. to see these things happening. And yet God is saying, these are the signs. I'm giving them as signs for you. I believe I'm gone. I believe I'll not be here for that. The Bible says that we have been saved from that day of wrath. If you know Jesus, you can avoid that time. If you know Him, that rapture is going to get you out of here. Now, I wish I could tell you there wouldn't be some kind of problems or troubles leading up to that, but I think there will be. Christians, I think that as we draw near to that tribulation, we'll begin to see some signs. It's getting more and more difficult on planet Earth right now. And I believe that we could see a run-up to those things, but I do know that we're saved from this. I guess the message today is we can feel good about our future because God is in charge of it. God is sovereign God. He reigns over all these things. This reminds me, He reigns over the earth, even all the weather, even all the elements below and on and above. It says these things will happen and people will be saying, I can't believe what my eyes are seeing. What is going to happen next? Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen next. In verse 28, when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing nigh. If you're caught on the planet and you're there and you see these things, you have one hope. You have one chance, and that is God. That the God of all these signs and events is still God over the earth. I guess my message is, if you're here today and you don't know this Jesus, and you don't know the God over the weather, and over the mountains, and over the sun and the moon, make Him your home today. Make sure that your heart is right with God today. I'm going to say that there are three things by this that really encourages me. I know you're probably, maybe someone is thinking, golly, Pastor, that's end time stuff. That's serious. It's dreadful. But I'm going to say to you, I see three things here that really get me fired up. And that's the first thing is this. He said, stand up. As you see these things happening, stand up. Christian, as we see the world turning into this, stand up. He says there, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. That reminds me, I need to stay vertical. One of these days, Jesus is going to come and I want to be vertical. I want to be saying, I'm looking up. I'm not looking down. I'm looking for Jesus. I'm not worried about my life. I'm looking for God. I'm not worried about the world. I'm looking for Jesus. I'm not worried about who sits on the White House or who sits in that house or this house. Christians, we need when He comes back that He finds us standing up, that we have taken our stand of faith and that we are anxiously telling people about these things and we're inviting them to come to Jesus. The best news is we can take somebody with us. We don't need to hide. We don't need to duck. We don't need to hunker down. Man, we need to get a good grip on planet Earth and do our job so that when He comes in after us, He will find us doing something that we're proud of and not ashamed of. I'll let that sit. Rise up. Man, He paid a lot for us to be able to stand up. I give you a horrible analogy. I paid $80 one time to go watch the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, $80, a lot of money, got me a seat way up there. And I paid good money for that and money to park and it was expensive. And I got there, and as soon as the game started, guess what? I never got to sit in that seat one single time. Everybody stands up at the Chiefs games. It's crazy. I remember Josh saying, I paid $80 for this seat, and I don't even get to use it. True. Why is that? Because you didn't want to miss anything. You don't want to miss anything on the playing field. Christians, we don't want to miss anything. We want to be in the game, and we want to be participating in what God's called us to do on His team so that we are ready when He shows up. I know that is simplified, but man, it's true, isn't it? We only got one shot at this. Man, when He comes, I want to be doing something that got somebody in a headlock and I'm taking them with me to heaven. There was somebody in the first service, a young man gave his heart to Jesus. Probably going to happen here today. Pray about that, will you? So stand up, and the second thing is look up. He said, look up. Lift your heads. That's the Bible's way of saying, don't be worried. Don't be fearful. Raise your heads to the favor of God. He's got all of this in His hands. He is sovereign. He will reign over all these things. That's the Bible saying. We got no fear about the future, do we, Christians? None at all. God is in charge of all these things. Man, if He's going to do all that with the sun and the moon and the stars, what can He do right now with me? And that also says, when look up means to look to the Lord for help. He is where our help is. Psalm 121, verse 2. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Looking up, you're going to see, God, you're the only one that can really help me. You're the only one whose help I really need. I don't need my family. I don't need my friends. I don't need my spouse. Lord, I need You. You're the one that saves me. You're the one that's in charge of all of this. I'm going to trust You. Jesus is coming back, and we're going to rapture home, my friends. In the twinkling of an eye, you're going to hear Gabriel calling for you. And just like that, you're beaming up instantly, and you're going to be with Him. How about we just live in a way we're ready for Him when He shows up? Shouldn't be any surprise for us as Christians. Verse 34 says, be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of life, and that they will close on you suddenly like a trap. If you're without Jesus today, this day will come real suddenly. There won't be any more warnings. Make sure you know Jesus today. As I was thinking about this, I remembered a story that I felt like I should share. Some of you have heard this. Most of you have not. It happened on 9/11, 2009. That was the week that we were finishing up this building. Some of you were here, a few of you, a handful of you, and you remember the colossal work that went into getting this building done. We worked so many hours. Some of you did. We built this $2 million building for $1 million. Three banks said you can't do it. Two banks and three appraisers, I think it was. But it happened. Now, that last week, man, we were working so hard. And it was Friday night before our first Sunday. I was here at the building about 10 o'clock working with some folks. I got a phone call, and a friend said, oh, my gosh, he said, Nate Mitchum, our youth pastor then, my best friend, who's 34 years old, had just coded. He said he's just coded. They've got him in the ambulance. He's going to the hospital. And so I ran over to his house. Marcia and I grabbed his wife, Crystal. We went to the hospital, and they were working on Nate. And we got in a room, the three of us, and we prayed our hearts out. We asked for God to heal Nate. He did better than that. He cured Nate. He took him home, never to ever have any disease or sickness or weakness ever again, permanently killed. So my good friend went to heaven that night suddenly. This is Friday night before Sunday morning. And I had that morning, I got an email from a lady here at church, a young mom, and she said, I need your advice. I had a dream last night. It woke me up, and I'm scared. I said, what was it? She goes, well, I woke up, and I saw the clock in a mirror, and I knew the image was backwards. She said, that's weird. I can't tell you, but I knew the dream was Matthew chapter 9, verse 15. Can you read that and tell me if there's something in that, that the Lord's trying to tell me something? So I looked it up, and verse 14 said, then John's disciples, that's John the Baptist, his disciples asked Jesus, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus answered, how can the guest of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and they will fast. John the Baptist's disciples said, you know, we've been taught to fast, the Pharisees fast. You guys, don't you just eat? Jesus gave this answer, and I looked at that, and I told her, I said, I don't know what to tell you. I said, are you worried? She goes, yeah, I'm worried. What are you worried about? Worried about my husband. What do you mean? I just said, I'm worried that maybe he's going to die. Young man in his 30s. And I thought, man, I don't think that's it. I don't know. I'm not an interpreter of dreams, but let's just trust the Lord. That night after Nate had died, we got back to his house, and Marcia and I sat down with Crystal and her mom and dad, and we visited for a while, and had the job of telling Nate's son, who was 8 years old, your dad's not going to get to come home. And I tell you, it was hard. And I'm wondering, Lord, what am I going to do now? My best friend, my partner in this church, this building, we start Sunday, what do we do? And I'm trying to be a pastor and encourage these folks. What is the Lord saying? Marcia was sitting there. She goes, oh, here on the couch, here's Nate's Bible. It looks like it was open. It looks like he might have been reading it. I said, where is it open to? She said, Matthew chapter 9. I said, let me see the Bible. And I read it, and I said, Marcia and Crystal, parents, this is a sign from the Lord. He is telling us, this is tragic in our eyes, it's hurtful, but God is saying, but I'm sovereign. I knew it would happen. And I didn't stop it. If I'd needed to stop that, I would have stopped it. Nate read it, and now you're reading it. It's God saying, I got this. I'm in charge. In no way that was a coincidence. That was God speaking to us. And I'm saying that the same God speaks to us today. He says, I am sovereign. I reign supreme over all things. I see lots of things on planet Earth that I could change. He sees things in our lives that could be changed, need to be changed. And he said, I still reign over all this. And I've got a timetable that will not be 1 minute too late, nor 1 minute too early. My message, church, God is in charge of this. And he's coming back. He's coming soon. And we can hear that call. Those of us who know him will hear that call and we'll meet him in the air. Make sure you're not left behind. Verse 36, be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of God. Get ready to go, point number three. Get yourself ready. Maybe you've been contemplating God for a while. Maybe you're not even sure if you know God. Why mess with that? Why not make absolute certain of it? Jesus said, you can trust me. He said, come to me, all who are heavy and burdened. My burden is light. Just follow me. He says, I love you. God demonstrated his own love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John says that as many as receive him as Savior and Lord, they have the right to become then children of God. You want to make sure you're a child of God. You want to make sure that you've asked him to forgive you of your sins. Make sure then that you've said to him, Lord, I give you my life. That's what's required. Yeah, this is going to cost you something. You're going to have to give God your life. Bear this in mind. He already gave his for you. And look at all that's going to happen in the future. I'm not trying to scare you into heaven, but I'm saying that this is something you should do and make fun, and settle this issue in your heart. In just a moment, I'll offer a prayer, and you can pray along with me and ask God to come into your life to save you. Christian, one of these days soon, he's coming for us. We'll hear the call. We want to be ready, don't we? We want to be the Christian that said, I'm standing up. I'm not down. I'm up with my hands up. I'm lifting God up and I'm praising God and I'm serving Him with all my heart. I want to be that guy that has my lamps burning. I'm on fire. There is light within me so that I can get somebody in a headlock and take them with me to heaven. Let's get ready, church. Let's pray. Father, I pray first for the person that's here that has never trusted you as their Savior. They've never said, Jesus, I see it. You died for me because you love me. And now you gave your life for me. I need to give mine to you. I understand I need to be a Christian. I understand you're calling me. I understand you've never quit calling me from the day I was born, Lord. You've been asking me to come, and today I want to come. I give you my heart. I ask you to forgive me of my sins now. Cleanse me on the inside, Lord. Wash my sins away. I want to serve you with a good heart and a pure heart. I'll do anything you ask me to. I trust you to save me. And Lord, for the Christian, this could be today or tomorrow. I want to be at my post. I'm supposed to be serving you. I don't want to be AWOL. I want you to be proud of me. I pray, Lord, that we'll serve you with all of our heart, mind, and soul. You gave us yours. We should give you ours. Thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, one last thing. If you prayed a prayer this morning and you asked God to save you, you got to do something. You have to do something now. You need to prove it. You need to show God you mean it. You wasn't pretending with Him. You know what that means? You need to tell somebody. You got to tell somebody what you've done. If somebody invited you to church or your friend is here with you, family member, you need to tell them what you've done this morning. It's important. And so I ask you all to stand to your feet now. Get ready to serve the Lord. Josh is going to sing with us one more time. And I'll see you at the back door.